Well, good morning. Those that are in the foyer, begin making your way in. I can see there is a mad dash to get the children checked in this morning. The weather may have delayed the travel just a little bit, but that's all right. You're in a warm, dry place. And I know I say this quite often, but I cannot emphasize enough the importance behind the decision that you made to get out of bed and be here. Sometimes that is the toughest call there is, to get up and go do what you know that God has laid on your heart and where you need to be. But we choose today to enter into the presence of God, to experience all that He has for us. But what you have inside of you is to give to other folks. So as you worship, as you release the Spirit of God that is inside of you, it makes all the difference in this place. So I encourage you to stand, and we're going to worship. Lord, we thank you that we get to come to your house. We thankful for everything, Lord, that you have done, that you're doing for the creation of us. Lord, and we choose to worship you this morning.
quenching fire as you break through. You're not far away, you're coming close. And oh, even as I wait, you're coming close. You're like summer.
Seated. Now is a great time to pull out your connection card. If you got that out of your bulletin, make sure that you're filling that out for us. If you're members, we definitely want you to do that. That's the way that you volunteer. For all my volunteers yesterday at Rushton Hope, thank you so very much. I ended up getting pulled away and having to go pick up some king food in Jonesboro, so you bailed me out, and I appreciate that. The fourth Saturday of each month, we're responsible for having volunteers there. So if that's something that you would like to do, that's a great time to put that on the back of your connection card. If you're visiting this morning for the first time, thank you for being here. God bless you. We'd love for you to fill it out also. We will contact you with an email or if you prefer a text, we can do a text that way, either way. I'm going to pray for all those that are battling and dealing with sickness and the flu and those type of things. I know we've had several that have just gotten over it. Pastor Buren is just about over it. He's been the last 3 days in the bed. And so as Dusty's coming this morning to bring the message, I'm going to pray for those that are not feeling well. Father God, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your healing. Lord, we thank you, Father, Lord, that you'll give us wisdom and direction in all that we do and all that we eat and all the things, Father, medically we do for ourselves. But, Lord, we look to you as our divine healer. And we ask, Father, Lord, that you touch, Father, Lord, each and every family, person, Father, Lord, that is not feeling well. And heal them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. As Pastor Will was saying, Dad has the flu. Mom called me Thursday and said, I really need you to pray for your dad. I'm like, Mom, I'm going to pray for Dad. She says, no, I really need you to pray for him because I don't know how long I can do this. She said, Dusty, he could not pick up the box of tissues beside him. And so, but I don't know if you know that the man flu is different from the woman flu. It's totally different. It's kind of like the dad cold. Dads who have had the dad cold is different from the mom cold. It's just different. The mom cold You can have a fever, be hacking up a lung, still have 5 loads of laundry done, have reviewed spelling words, the entire solar system, listen to every single thing your 13-year-old daughter had to say, given appropriate feedback, but the dad cold will take you out. It'll take you out, and there's nothing you can do about it. I finally figured out Friday I'd probably be speaking today, and I stopped by Mom and Dad's house. Didn't stay long, but stopped by there for a little bit, and I'll be honest with you, I've never prepared a message this short notice, ever. And I saw Dad's notes laying on the table for this Sunday, and I just looked at him, and I thought, get him. Just take him. He takes my stuff. He steals my books. He uses my lines. Just take it. But I thought, you know what? I'm not like that. I'm gonna develop this on my own. Dad has been sharing on this message, the series called Recovering Our Godness. And the past couple of Sundays, he has talked about 4 names of God. And so I've decided that I'm going to talk about those exact same 4 names, and I'm just going to kind of break it down into a little more detail. Is that cool with you guys? I hope so, because that's what I got. That's all I got. The cool part, John Henry heard me saying out loud that, man, I've never prepared this short notice for anything before. And he just heard me. He says, Mom, he says, I think that's a good thing, because now you're not going to go edit, take out something you're not supposed to take out, put in something that you're not supposed to put in. So it's funny, Dad wanted to see my notes with the flu, sick and everything. And so I told him I was going to do the 4 names of God and kind of redo them and unpack them in a little bit of a different way. And the man had the nerve to look at it and say, you know these are out of order. I'm like, brother, you're in no condition to be telling me what order to put the names of God in. Same message. Anyway, recovering our godness, what is this? Our foundational scripture for this series is found in Genesis, and it says, God said, let us make humans in our image according to our likeness. We were created in the very image and the likeness of God. I think we've heard this phrase so often that it's lost its impact of what it really means. It's lost kind of that shock factor. Because for so long, we've been told that we were born into sin and that we were born into this evil world, when the very origin of who we are and what we were born into was good. God created us, created the world, and he said, this is very good. Your origin is good. It is not sin. It is good. His image is your DNA. There's no getting away from it. There's no denying it. There's no trying to separate yourself from it. His image is your DNA. Dad talked about, and it's important to know who he is and what that image is, because the more you know who he is, the more you know who you are. Dad shared that we live out of the image that we see. So it's important that we see the right image and that we know the right God and that we serve the right God, because we live out of that image. See, people for so long have been told that about God in reference to what he can do for you, like it's this magic, this magician, and that if you pray hard enough and that if you climb this magical ladder, that then you're going to be able to have and live an abundant life. But God said, no, I'm putting the very image of who I am inside of you. I am your DNA. You have all that you need to do, all that he's called you to do, because you are that image and you are that likeness. Jesus was the image of God. He evolved into the likeness. He evolved into the likeness. I get this devotional. He evolved into the Christ. That's what we're doing. You are the image. There's no getting away from it. And you're evolving into the Christ. A devotional that I get every day that I really, really enjoy said this about Jesus. Jesus was not born fully mature. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. He fully entered into the human journey. Many want to imagine that Jesus was lying in the manger and knew everything from the very beginning, which would make his faith a mere caricature, and he would not be the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, as stated in Hebrews 12. At Jesus' baptism in the River Jordan, we witness Jesus' dawning realization of who he is, God's beloved Son. Throughout his life on earth, Jesus continued to discover his own ways of embodying God's likeness through his ministry. This is what we are doing. We are becoming like him, discovering our own ways to embody his likeness. You see, that while we are all the same DNA, and while we are all created in the image and the likeness of God, we have different expressions. You know this with your children. It's amazing how, can you hand me that water, babe? Thank you. It's amazing how you can have, we have three children in our house, three kids, same house, same mom and dad, yet so different, right? Don't you ever, isn't it just amazing how you can be, and sometimes even children grow up in the same house and become adults and have even different thoughts about their childhood. Same. But we are all different expressions in that. So in recovering our godness, in what we are doing, we are recovering. Recover means to put back to a normal position, to get back to where it was originally designed for, our godness, our divine nature, who we really are. It is stripping away. This series, this is my prayer. This is my prayer for you guys, my prayer, that we strip away every false separation that we've created between us and between God. That we throw away this ladder that the old church world has given us, that we have to work, that we have to climb in order to access the power of God within us. And that's what we're doing. So the names Dad has taught so far, Jehovah, Elohim, Adonai, and El Shaddai. And I'm going to break these four names down into three different categories, not in any particular order. And I decided to unpack it like this: who we are, what we do, and how we do it. Okay? All right. So we're going to start with who we are. Jehovah. Jehovah. Jehovah means holy and righteous. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because you guys already know what that means. Jehovah comes from the Hebrew word meaning hava, meaning to be, and the verb shava, meaning to live. So you see the connection between being and life. And Jehovah is righteousness. This is who we are. Anytime you see all caps, L-O-R-D, Lord in the Bible, and it's all caps, that is the word Jehovah. That's what that word means. Psalm 145 said, "The Lord, Jehovah, is righteous in everything he does. He is filled with kindness." You can substitute that, and you can say, "Larson is righteous in everything she does. She is filled with kindness." That is who you are. In Ephesians, you know, Paul says, "Put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." He's saying, go ahead and put on. This is who you are. It already is who you are. Sometimes we hear people say, well, the scripture says we're called to be holy. We're called to be holy. Whenever you read that Christ has called you to be holy, he is calling you to be who you already are. You see, it's like an oak tree does not get any oakier. It's an oak tree. A baby does not get any more human. And in the same way, you don't get any more holy. You just mature into what he has already made you to be, evolving into his likeness, evolving into your Christ. Okay? All right. You were holy. You were righteous. Nothing you can do to change it. We evolve into it. That is who you are. The next part of who you are is Adonai. Adonai means Lord, Master, and Owner. Well, you can say, well, God is my master. God, how does he master you? God cannot make you do anything. He can't. He doesn't want to. He doesn't want to make you do anything. That goes against the very nature of who he is. So God masters you by you mastering yourself. Napoleon Hill said, you are the master of your destiny. You can influence, direct, and control your own environment. You can make your life what you want it to be. Matthew 6:24 said, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. This is referencing money and the love of money, but the same can be said for anything else, because you will love whatever you give attention to. You will love whatever gets your energy, whatever it gets, because something is always mastering us. Something is. I was sharing with a friend a couple Sundays ago, Dad had shared about when he was growing up, he never knew that he was poor. His parents never talked about it. They never said those words. And so he grew up. And Chris writes on my notes that Sunday morning, he writes, always talk about what we have. Never talk about what we don't have. Well, I was sharing this with a friend, and the next day she texted me. And she said something went off inside of her. And she said she realized that lack has been the master of her life. And she said, I'm finally on a road to a breakthrough, and I am ready to set myself free in the land of abundance. You see, when you focus on what you do have, you allow abundance to master you. When you focus on what you don't have, then lack becomes your master. And I don't think I can say it enough that whatever you give energy to is what grows. Whatever you give energy to is what masters you. And ultimately, what you give energy to will master your life. I wrote these statements down about mastering. If you feed complaining, then unhappiness becomes your master. If you feed insecurity, then fear becomes your master. If you feed comparison, then discontentment becomes your master. But when you feed higher thinking, when you feed the real you, the higher you, the Adonai becomes your master. If you feed right perspective, then happiness becomes your master. If you feed your intuition, then peace becomes your master. And if you feed hope, then anything is possible. We continually master our mind by renewing it. Romans 12 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Then you'll be able to master your life well. You see, the pattern of this world says that you aren't enough, that you don't have enough. But the transforming of the renewing mind means I am consistently taking captive those thoughts, and I am making them obedient to the truth of my godness. Good. And see, we have to do it daily. I talk to myself often. I self-dialogue often, because anytime I respond to a situation and it's not the way I needed to respond, or something gets me, or I read something and it affects me, I have to have an inner dialogue, a self-dialogue, to figure out why. Why? Because I know mastering my mind is everything. Mastering my mind is everything. John Maxwell said, one of the reasons people don't achieve their dreams is that they desire to change their results without changing their thinking. Master your mind and you will master your life. That is who you are. You are righteousness. You are holy. You are Jehovah. You are Adonai. You are the master. You steer the ship. Nobody else. Your spouse doesn't. Your children don't. Your boss doesn't. You steer this ship. And you have everything you need within you to steer it well. Amen? All right, so that is who you are. This is where we're going to get excited. This is what you get to do. You are Elohim. Yeah. Elohim means you are creator. You get to create. You already know. You already know you create every single day. You create it with your choices. You create it with your words. You create it with the tone. If you don't believe you don't create your day with the tone of your voice, say one thing to your spouse in an ugly way and see how that doesn't create your day, right? Get into a car with your children. I don't know what it is, but about the car and kids, but their tone with each other starts getting... Anybody else's kids just do that? Everything's fine until you get in the car. It's like the car is this magical thing where everybody's tone gets bad, right? Right? Closed in. And it will create your car ride. We don't always create our circumstances, but we get to create how we respond to them. I had the worst example of this. See, this, I don't just preach to you guys. I'm preaching to myself. Most days, I'm going to say most days, I feel like I do well. Most days. But we went skiing in Colorado right after Christmas, right after New Year's. And Chris and I were going to fly together with the kids, but he ended up going to the Rose Bowl. He was working. And so he said, I'll just meet you in Colorado. And I thought, I'm the master of my shit. I'm the master of my mind. I got this, babe. So the kids and I load up. Dad drops us off at the airport. And because we were originally on John, Henry, and Anna were on his reservation, and Jet was on mine. And I knew that could be an issue as an unaccompanied minor, so I called Delta ahead of time and told them, situation, oh, we're going to link it, it's good. I get there to the airport, and the guy just was not, he did not know who he was. He was not trying to recover his godness. And he just shows me this computer and says, look here, unaccompanied minor. And I'm like, what do I need to do? Find a guy in a red coat. I said, where's a guy in a red coat? Go upstairs, find a guy in a red coat. And I'm just, okay. John Henry says, Mom, let's just go find a guy in a red coat. So we go upstairs. Sure enough, guy in a red coat. Well, they end up linking the reservation, not a problem. We get on the flight. And then we get to Denver. Get our bags, and I'm in charge of getting the rental car. I don't have a rental car. I can't fit. There's five of us. I got 29 bags. We're not going to fit in your little Volkswagen Rabbit. Like, I need a legitimate car. Nothing, I mean, everything, and Jet's just, I mean, he's only listening to one out of 30 words that I say, and it just gets crazy. And I just start allowing, knowing that I can create my calm in it, I decide I'm tired. I'm not creating anything else good. I'm not going to respond to this any better. And it just escalates until finally, I didn't know this conversation happened while John and Anna and Jet and I are trying to process this day. Chris finally shares this with me. So this is the conversation this day between John Henry and Chris. John, when you get here, could you do something that can really calm Mom down? I've been trying to help, but today has been very stressful for her. She says that she isn't skiing tomorrow. I just don't like it when she's upset. Chris, I know, buddy. I will try and see what I can do. John, thank you so much. Chris, try to help Mom as much as possible. She said Jet wasn't listening to her, but any help would probably go a long way if you can. John, I offer frequently, but she insisted on saying no. I'm trying. I have no clue what to do. Should I just leave it up to you and keep a positive vibe? Chris, we all need to keep a positive vibe. She just lets it snowball into a stressful environment. John, you always make it better, though. Chris, well, son, these are good life lessons for you to see. Stressing out isn't what I would consider a productive mindset. So, while Captain Positive 1 and Captain Positive 2 were discussing how to make this day better, I just needed a new 24. I needed a new day. This is the beauty of when we don't get it right. You get a new day to do it. You get a new day, and it's magical. When the scripture in Lamentations says that his mercies are new every morning, let me tell you what Dr. Caroline Leaf, she wrote a book called Switch on Your Brain. There's science to mercies being new. You ready for the science? It's called neurogenesis. Each morning when you wake up, you have, this is for real, guys, this is science. Each morning when you wake up, you have new baby nerve cells born inside your brain to use wisely as you remove bad thoughts and wire in new ones. This is called neurogenesis. That is why sometimes you just need to sleep on it and go to bed. Go to bed, wake up, brand new day. And you know what? I woke up that new day, that next day, and I skied. And I liked my family again. And it was all good. That's neurogenesis. It's science. And it's God's word. His mercies are new. Your mercies are new. All right. So we already know that we create our world. We create our days. Do you know that? We've taught that. We've been there. Now I'm going to talk about next level Elohim. Next level. This is the day-to-day stuff. Next level. This is intentionally creating, designing a world with your imagination. It is deliberate imagination that is next level creating. It is one thing to create your day, and that is good, and it is necessary. But imagination creates your life. Yes, ma'am. And it not only affects your life, it affects those around you, and it has the potential to affect the world. This is where I want to go. This is where I want us to be. It is imagination that allows us to see our world as it is meant to be. There were biblical dreamers. There was Daniel, who was in a lion's den, and he imagined those lions with their mouths closed and not being hurt. And that imagination not only freed him and saved him, but allowed King Darius, it changed him and it changed an entire kingdom when Darius made a decree that God is a living God and his kingdom will live forever. John the Revelator was a dreamer. He imagined a better world where all would be made new in Christ. I want us to look at this. This is what John imagined. John imagined this. You ready? And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. This is John talking. This is not God. This is John. This is the godness in John. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down, not climbing up, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now in you. and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order is gone. All right, you got it? You with me? This is Johnny. That's his imagination. And then God responded. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Then God responded to John's imagination and said, it is done. It is done. You see, John's imagination, the Christ in John, is still affecting your life and my life today. I propose that John held this thought for a long time. The 20 chapters leading up to right here, he talks about it. It becomes his language. He keeps his eyes fixed on it, not fixed on the fact that he's been exiled to an island left to die. He keeps his eyes fixed on this truth, imagining a better life, not in spite of his circumstances. And because of his circumstances, he imagined it even more. And then in chapter 21, so he's holding this thought. He's imagining the Christ in John is evolving into the likeness of God. And he is realizing the Elohim within him. He is saying, God, this is what I see. This is what I imagine. And finally in chapter 21, God says, bam, John, you've held it long enough. You've been holding it. You've been giving energy to it. And I say, write it down because it's done. It's done. You can create your day, and that's fantastic. Keep doing it. Keep doing the work. Keep doing the work. But God says, Christ is your imagination, and you can create something, imagine something, and God will do it, and God will honor it, and God will say, write it down, Jim. It's done. Write it down, Jennifer. It's done. You hold it. You hold it. You hold it in chapter 1, chapter 2, all the way until chapter 21. You hold it, and God will say, I got you. It is done. Write it down. Write it down. Don't think about it. You think from it. You live from it. Nelson Mandela was in a prison for 27 years. 27 years he was in a prison, and all he could do was imagine South Africa free. All he could do, he didn't think about his pain. He didn't think about the cell. 27 years he imagined a free nation. And that imagination not only set him free, but set an entire nation free. Still to this day, he's called the father of South Africa. His imagination changed only his life. It affected that entire country. Wayne Dyer said, believe it and you'll see it. So we've been taught, I got to see it to believe it. When you believe it, you live from it. Nelson Mandela believed it. He imagined it. And then he saw it. I think this is why The Greatest Showman is ringing so loud and so true in the hearts of Americans. You know what? Around the world, you know why we love it so much? Because it's speaking to our Elohim. That's who it's talking to. It's speaking to our Elohim. It's bearing witness. If you have not seen this movie, you're dismissed. Go. I'll go with you. I'll go see it again. I've seen it 3 times. This soundtrack is on constant replay in our house. It is life, man. It is everything. There's a song on there called A Million Dreams. Have you heard it? Raise your hand if you've heard it. Go download The Greatest Showman. It says, I close my eyes and I can see a world that's waiting there for me that I call my own. It says that let's run away into a world that we design. And he says, because every night I lie in bed The brightest colors fill my head. A million dreams are keeping me awake. I knew who Jackman would make it to this message. And a million dreams are the one we're going to make. Jet's creating his world, man. I love it. Jet has, let me tell you different imaginations of Jet. He has beside his bed a book because he's going to be an astronaut one day. And on this journal, he's written astronaut. Inside, he's drawn every picture, written everything about it. He also wants a top hat like Hugh Jackman. And he imagines himself being Michael Jackson. If you haven't seen that on social media, then you've missed it. Here's the thing. We don't know if Jet's going to go work for NASA or the circus. But we are going to light the fire. And we're going to flame every single thing that boy shows passion for. And I think about, in as much as I want to, God, you want a Michael Jackson hat and glove and jacket? Dude, I got you. You want to be the best dancer to Thriller in the world? I got you. In as much as Chris and I fuel it, feed it, his imagination, how much more does my Heavenly Father want to feed and fuel and do it? I do it for my kids. I do it for mine. God cares about your dreams. I care about my kids' dreams. I care about them. And as much as I care about them, think how much this perfect power cares about yours and wants to fuel it and wants to create it. Recover that 7-year-old child inside of you that dreams. Recover. Mr. Jim Lewis shared with me before, this morning, he said, I looked in the mirror this morning, and I thought about myself at 14 years old. He says, my first thought was, did you ever think you were going to look like this? He said, but then I thought, I was 14 when I met Janet. And she didn't want to marry me then because I didn't have a job. But I imagined I'd be a really good life. And then I looked. Look at Janet. Here with me. Right now. Here with me. Right now, recover your imagination. He can't create without you. He can't create. This is why your imagination is so important. So you know who you are. You know what you get to do. And this is how we're going to do it. We're going to do it with El Shaddai.
Yep. There it is.
El Shaddai comes from the word meaning breast. And it's one who nourishes, supplies, and satisfies. This is what will sustain your dreams. It'll sustain your imagination. It'll feed your creativity. Somehow the church world hasn't done the best job, but I think we're doing a better job in talking about nourishing ourselves and loving ourselves. Dad shared the other Sunday, the greatest gospel of the kingdom is to love the Lord your God and then love your neighbor as yourself. And the third part that we often miss in that is as ourself. I want to talk to you about what self-care looks like, what nourishing looks like. This is how you're going to sustain those dreams, sustain that imagination. Meditate, number one. Meditate, get quiet, and listen. In Job, it says, pause a moment, Job, and listen. Consider the wonderful things God does. You see, prayer meditation unlocks the power of your imagination. Create mental space. My good friend Mary Fountain, who teaches yoga at Intent, I'd always thought about creating margin with my time, which meant creates, you know, time for different things. She's the one who actually taught me about creating mental space. I wrote about it a couple of years ago, and I just want to read just a little snippet of what I wrote. Every day we fill our mind with our to-do list, worries, thoughts from the day before, and thoughts about the day to come. We leave no room for creativity, for dreaming, for being in the moment, for quieting our minds so we can hear Christ within us. The noises both outside and inside drown out his voice and fill up our thoughts. Thus, the need to create mental space is through simply getting quiet. By simply getting quiet. See, creativity is birthed out of getting quiet. It energizes and gives life to the imagination, which is Christ. This is what helps us create the world that we dream of. And Psalm says, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. This means you wait for him to show you something new. Number two, do things that inspire you. That's how we nourish. Do things that inspire you. You already know that what inspires you will strengthen you. I don't care what it is. For us right now, it's listening to The Greatest Showman over and over and over and over and over again. It might be Brandon Grubb share with us that he went to see Tedeschi Trucks a couple of weeks ago. He said, man, I went to church. It inspired him. Find a hobby. Find something that you love that will feed you. Because whatever inspires you strengthens you, and it will fuel your Elohim. Number three, get adequate rest. Elohim created the world in 6 days, then El Shaddai rested. Generations of doctrine and preaching have somehow disconnected the body from the soul. Identity becomes wrapped up in what I do, what I produce, instead of who I am. One of the most spiritual things you can do is rest. Your body needs rest. Your mind needs rest. Let me tell you what mind needing rest means for me, what it looks like. There are some times that I will think about something and think about it for so long and think. And it's an important decision that I need to make, but I shelve it because I need to rest my mind from it. I need to take a break from it. You need rest. Let me tell you, hell hath no fury like a tired mom. There are things that we don't do when we're tired. We don't make important decisions when we're tired, and we don't discipline our children when we're tired. You need rest. And here's the thing, too. If you never rest, you fail to see the fruits of what you've already produced and enjoy it. That's what God did. That's what Elohim did. He produced and he created. And then he didn't rest because he just needed sleep. The Bible says God never tires. God never sleeps. He just sat back in awe and look what I've already done. That's what rest does for you. It allows you to see what you've already done, what God's already done through you. And then finally, and Kitty, you can be coming, set healthy boundaries. Set healthy boundaries. Maybe it's disconnecting from something that you need to disconnect from and connecting to something that you need to connect to. It could be electronics. It could be this. It could be a toxic relationship. Whatever it is, disconnect from those things that are keeping you from nourishing who you are, from nourishing your Godness so that you can be, evolve into who you already are. And then, as you nourish yourself, another way we nourish ourselves is that then we're able to go out and nourish other people. Proverbs says, the generous will prosper, but those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. The cool thing about this is that part of my El Shaddai, part of my nourishing myself, is when I nourish someone else. It's when I nourish other people. See, what you keep is all you have, but what you give, God multiplies. It's a crazy principle of the kingdom. Penny Doss does this probably more beautifully than any living being I know. She said someone asked her, how are you and Terry doing? Like, Penny, how are you doing this? Or are you okay? And Penny says, I looked at him and I said, don't tell me if I'm not, because Terry and I are the best we've ever been. But you know what she does? She consistently nourishes herself and she consistently nourishes other people. Her mind is always thinking about embracing life, embracing who I am, and helping someone else recover who they are. It's consistent, and that's why she can look at someone and say, don't tell me if I'm not doing well, because I feel like I got this. I feel like God has me in a place right now. And I know Anna in a place, and it's kind of cool that we're both in this thing together where God has called she and I to nourish the marginalized. Yes. Good. Good. To nourish those who've been rejected by the church because they tell them they weren't created that way or made that way. They've been hurt and told them that they have no godness in them. God couldn't love them. And we both have this burden to look at them and say, I'm sorry you've been hurt. Come sit at my table. Come sit with me. 1 John says, no one has ever seen God. But if we love each other, if we nourish each other, then God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression. When we love everyone, when we embrace everyone, it is my job, it's my mission to help those people recover who they are.
Yes, ma'am.
To recover their DNA. And I was writing this message yesterday. I was sitting in my living room and Chris and Jet were out on the farm and it was quiet except for downstairs. I hear Anna playing the piano and John on guitar, and they're playing the same song, and they're singing the same song. And what I hear coming out of those instruments and those mouths, or imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will will be as one. And I heard it and I added that into my notes. And I thought, I can't even make this up, that I am preaching on imagination. I'm talking about imagination. And downstairs, I have two kids who were singing Imagine. I can't make it up. When I intentionally connect to my source, then I hear it everywhere. And all I could do was wipe the tears off of my face and say, in my spirit to theirs, imagine it. Imagine it. Don't stop imagining it. Fix your thoughts on a world that loves every single person, that accepts every single person, that says that the same DNA that's in me, the same image is in you. You fix your eyes and you hold it and you hold it and you hold it, because God's going to one day say, write it down, because it's done. Write it down, because it's done. Yeah. This morning, I got some homework for you. I want you to do two things, not for me, but for yourself this week. I want you to write down, I need to disconnect from, and I need to connect to. Maybe you need to disconnect from a fear and connect to hope. Maybe you need to disconnect from comparison and connect to real contentment. Maybe you need to disconnect from electronics and connect to a time and a place that you set aside to get quiet so you can hear the Creator within you. Imagine something. Maybe you need to disconnect from negativity or toxic people who are keeping you from being the Elohim that you were designed to be. Whatever it is, it may be more than one thing. Whatever it is, write it down. Be intentional. Be intentional. Write it down. And you look at it every day and you put what you're connecting to, and then you start giving energy to. Eventually, you have to acknowledge sometimes what's wrong. You don't stay there, though. You don't stay there. Because once you acknowledge, I'm disconnecting from this, then your focus becomes hope. Then your focus becomes love. Then your focus becomes imagination, what it needs to be. So do that. Can you do that this week? Can you go ahead and just get honest with yourself and get real and say, I'm going to do it and I'm going to zone in on it? Because I'm going to recover. You're making a commitment. I'm going to recover my godness. I'm going to recover who I already am. And then the next thing I want you to do, I want you to nourish somebody every single day this week. Every day. It might be a text. It might be a phone call. It might be you make them dinner. I don't know, whatever your gifts are, whatever God shows you, whatever, when you get quiet, ask God to give you someone, however you want to do it, whether that morning when you wake up, or just say, God, I am open today. It's going to come to me and I'm going to know. But nourish someone every single day this week. Be El Shaddai, because El Shaddai isn't just for us to nourish ourselves. It is for us to refresh other people. And I promise you, when you do it, you're going to be refreshed. What you have is what you keep is all you have. But what you give, He multiplies. That's good. This is good stuff. It's good. It's not my stuff. It's His stuff. It's your stuff. It's my stuff. All right? You are holy. You are righteous. There is nothing you can do that will separate you from who you are. Nothing. 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 You could not get any holier. You're just evolving into the awareness of who you already are. You already are. It's who you are. Go be it. All right. I love you guys. I'm excited. Go see The Greatest Showman. Go see it. Let it stir that Elohim within you. And let's create something, not just something awesome that's going to be good for our day, but something that's going to affect generations to come. You can do it. It's already within you. John did it. The Revelator, my God, you can do it. He's no different from you and I. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Pastor Will.
How many want Buren to give her short notice all the time? Awesome. Incredible. As our ushers are receiving our morning's tithes and offerings and alms, I want to continue to thank you for your faithfulness. It is your giving. Some of you give in the offering bucket or just drop your card in there. Some of you are giving online. But those areas, and we are adding one that we're going to be saying more often, and that is missions. The missions work that we're already doing is tremendous, but we feel as though God wants us to step up the game in that area just a little bit. So affecting and touching people's lives. This week, I want you to keep Marsha Ayers in your prayers. She will be traveling to Haiti, correct, on a mission trip. And so keep her in your prayers as she is going and doing that. And many of you remember when Jay Paul was here, he talked about he is overseas right now and will be coming home soon. But we have a few people within our congregation that are interested in the mission trip to India coming in July. So if you have interest in that, with the other two that are already thinking about it, just get with me and I'll get you that information. So it's good stuff, isn't it? Awesome stuff. Is our band not coming? Lost musicians to sickness. All right. Well, I will pray and dismiss us then. We'll bless this offering. Father, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, the blessings, Lord, that you have given us the ability to create. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that those that are coming and giving of their time and their talents, Lord, in the children's ministry and the coffee and donut area, Father, Lord, that you will give back to them, Father, Lord, exceedingly and abundantly above, Lord, what they have even given. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that the fruits of the tithes and the offerings, Father, Lord, will go and touch people, Lord, in this community. To touch, Father, Lord, and heal and bring healing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I encourage you to go and take what has been given to you. You can go ahead and pick up those before they leave. What has been given you, and give it to somebody else this week. God bless.